This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and thank you, Dave, for the introduction there. We're going to change the subject tonight a little bit, and we are actually looking at real war and what is going on in war. And I want to look at a period in time. It's actually quite a dramatic period. I was, you know, doing some number crunching at one stage, and I was looking at Revelation and about one third of mankind dying due to, you know, all sorts of stuff. And and one day what really dawned on me that when you look at a period in time, most of you listeners will still have some sort of link to, not that you have lived through this period of time. Some of you may have, but maybe your father or your grandfather or grandparents or your great-grandparents will have lived through this time. And the period I'm talking about is from 1900 to about 1950. Yeah, 1950. And I did some number crunching, and I looked at all the different figures which you know, which were presented, and the population, the world population, was supposed to be about 2 billion, 2.5 billion, round about there. And to be fair, nobody really knows those figures. And then we've got the war. We've got the First World War. And I'm just talking out of the top of my mind now, so you can check out those figures in detail. We've got the First World War, and we've got about 18 million people dying in the trenches. So we've got about 18 million people. And then just after the First World War, from 1918 to 1920, we had the so-called Spanish flu. And I'm not sure whether I got the figure right. I think it was about 100 million people worldwide who died of the Spanish flu. So that was almost like the plague, where you know, people caught it, and a few days later they were dead. Yeah, and it was just going around all over the place, and was pretty merciless. Then we have got the Second World War. And within the Second World War, we had a total fatality rate due to war-related victims, and it goes to 88 million. It's interesting as well, and I'm gonna I want to talk today about the Nazi era, and then maybe tomorrow about the Soviet era, and sort of analyze a little bit what was going on, and then maybe draw a parallel to our age as well. And there were a couple of questions I had, and I don't necessarily have the answers, and I would love for you to possibly come up with some answers as well. But there's some shocking results which came from this period, and maybe I'm probably in a generation where I can still talk a little bit more about it, having spoken to people who personally went through this period, through the Hitler days, and have been there, Christians as well, born again Christians who went through this time, and they, you know, were telling me what was going on and giving me some insights, and you find that that there's an element that God was really moving in this time behind the scenes, but on the other side there was some very dark stuff going on, which is obvious. You know, we know we've got the 2020 vision of hindsight, and some of the stuff that was going on was really, really dark. Yeah? And it's important to sort of understand, and also how it came to that, and what was going on before, and then we can sort of draw an analogy to what we were before. Okay, let's go back to the death rates. Yeah, and we always hear these figures about the Holocaust with 6 million, but there's a lot more going on, and people don't realize the severity of the destruction of mankind which went on. So anyway, we had good old Stalin. Stalin was responsible for, some people say the figures range from 6 million to 20 million to 40 million to 60 million. Nobody really knows what the real figures are, but he had all these purges. The guy was totally paranoid, and he tried to, you know, kill anybody who was in his way. And so he had like one purge after the other, and there were another, you know, umpteen people going to the gulags, more going to the gulags, more going to the gulags, and people were just dying. Dying at a very high rate. And the guy was just totally mad, and nobody tried to oppose him or to take him out of the way. And again, we had Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong, very similar. You know, he had a great many ways to kill people, and there's a lot of people which go on his account as well. So some people say about 50 million, 100 million, nobody really knows the exact figure. The figure I came up with when I counted everything up was about 306 million. How close I am, who knows? You know, I know, you know, the Lord who knows the number of the hairs on your head at any one time. And let me take this one step further. I would probably say that God could tell you the exact number of cells in your body, you know, which make up your body. And I know he will know every soul that is, you know, been through this time, that has died. And I believe that every human, every life is precious to God. And that he knows the exact figure. And when he, I mean, I'm just talking statistics. I haven't got a clue, you know, the severity of the trauma, the drama, the suffering that is involved with this figure. And if I had, I would probably, you know, dive into the deepest depression I've ever had and never come out of it, realizing all the grievous stuff that has happened during this period of time. But when you count this up, yeah, it's about 20% of the world's population, somewhere between 10, 15, 20%, maybe a bit more of the world's population that died in this period of time. So that we are talking, you know, about one generation, and within this generation, a good, you know, fifth, maybe even a quarter of the population died due to unnatural circumstances. Yeah, and that's really, really tragic. It's tragic, and you wonder what's going on here. You know, now the Bible talks about the end time, and one thing which I had to, and I want to talk just about Germany today. And one thing which sort of really struck me: what did Christians think at the time when Hitler was coming up? You know, when suddenly you had these Nazis, and then you look at the time which was there before the Nazis. And when we look at the 1920s, sort of from 1920 to about 1930, so we had a period of time where everything was just going really well. You know, there was progress, technology, you know, came up. You know, people were starting to have transport and they were driving around. We went from horse and cart to the automobile. Everybody pretty much could afford a bicycle or a motorbike or something like that if they wanted to. Industrialization took off, and there was sort of a happy kind of go atmosphere. In Germany, the 20s were very democratic. You know, you could believe any political stream you had from left to right. And people were sort of looking around and then aligning themselves with the political movement from extreme left to extreme right, you know, in the middle as well. And everything was going. Yeah? Everything was going. You had new music, parties, pubs, you know, lots of interesting stuff going on in the 20s, you know. After, especially after the First World War, you know, people went to living and enjoying themselves. Right, a couple of other things which happened in the spirit in the 1920s. From what I understand, there was a big move into the occult. So people started messing about with the occult, were quite open for that. The churches were kind of getting less relevant. People were still calling themselves Christians, and they did the thing because it was the thing you had to do, and that was part of social standing. But there wasn't really anything happened. There weren't great missionary movements. There wasn't a great move of God. There wasn't possibly even a desire for a great move of God at this time. And it was more the attitude of life was for living. Yeah. And I mean, obviously I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And I know that, you know, if you really want to live life, you need to know Jesus. And he will give you life to the overflow, real life, which you enjoy and which is great. And I can confirm that this is true. You know, Jesus will give you life to the overflow. And not just, you know, a delusion of life. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people in the 20s. There was also like a, you know, a rebellious spirit in a sense. Yeah? So a lot of this rebellion went against anything which stood for sort of conservative values. And very often the church was put, you know, into this category. And maybe the church did make a lot of mistakes in that time. And later we'll see it actually did. And in this environment, what we get is we get the communists gaining a lot of power. We had the big, you know, the big crash in the late 30s. What was it, 1929? Black Friday. And then it took about a year, 2 years to get out of it. And then we had a lot of problems. Yeah? We had a lot of problems in society for a period of a few years. And people started getting radicalized. And quite interesting, when you look at the elections in Germany, the communists got about one-third of the vote. Then the Nazis got about one-third of the vote. And the Democratic parties, they got the third, that's the last third. And this is including the center parties, SPD and things like that, Labour parties. But the ones which were more moderate, the moderate parties got about a third. And anyway, the economy picked up in 1931, 1932, and then suddenly, the extreme parties, they got a little bit less of the vote as well, and the moderate parties were gaining more votes as people started trusting, into the future, or having some hope into the future. Okay, we know the story from history. Hitler comes to power, and suddenly things change very fast. Okay. Right, how much time have we got? I have to cut it short. I've got two grandfathers. One was, you know, all absorbed in this movement. The other one was dead against it. The one that was dead against it, he told me that life was really difficult. I mean, they still had fun. They did their stuff. But he had, you know, these heavy Nazis everywhere you went, and you had to be very careful what he said. And he said some things which almost got him into trouble. He had to have this Hitler greeting, he had to do this, otherwise he was just getting beaten up. And it was a very difficult time. A very difficult time for him to deal with that, yeah. And this is sort of the situation where people are dealing with and what people had to deal with in these days. Yeah. And it's tough. It's really, really, really tough. Okay, let's move on. What was happening in Germany? Yeah, in Germany, and this was in Christianity. And you get this guy, and he actually does some really great stuff. And you from 1933 to about 1939, and again, we've got this period, yeah, which is almost like 7 years, not quite. And again, you look at the biblical narrative, and you get this seven-year period and so on, and you think, you know, what's going on here? So I'm sure a lot of people at the time thought that he was the Antichrist. Anyway, he got the economy going. Everything was wonderful. He, didn't really make people to have a sign. But he required worship of his person, so people had to, you know, do the Hitler greeting, the Heil Hitler thing, and he was deliberate in abolishing religion. Yeah? And he started off with the Jewish religion, and it's not a religion; it's a people, it's an ethnic group. He tried to decimate them and get rid of them. And again, that's all being prophesied in the Bible, you know, that they will be persecuted from one end to the other. They will be given a hard time. All prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus talked about this. Yeah. And his view was, you know, after he was done with the Jews, he wanted to then deal with the Christians. And so what was happening in those days, and it's very disturbing what is going on, and I can see a parallel with that today as well. Yeah. People have been going away from God. People have been trying to, seek some sort of alternative, you know, embrace communism, socialism, or fascism. And people were doing all sorts of crazy stuff, yeah, in those days. But they didn't seek the real God. They didn't reach out for the real God. And then when you look within the Christian community, which was there, and when you look at Germany at the time had 60 million people, 40 million were Protestant, and about 20 million were Catholics. within the Protestant community, you had some really strong Protestant groups. But what was happening within these strong Protestant groups, the Nazis tried to introduce something which they called German Christianity, where they rewrote the Bible, where they redefined who Jesus was, where they changed the Ten Commandments to put some other stuff in veneration of the Führer and the people. So they changed, I think they changed it to 12 commandments. Then they tried to, you know, encourage old Germanic pagan traditions instead of Christianity. And now here's about real Christianity. If you didn't go along with this new wave of redefining the Bible and redefining who Jesus was, you ended up in serious trouble. One of the guys I've been studying a little bit is a guy by the name of Wilhelm Busch. He died in 1967 or 1966, I'm not sure. He was a preacher during the Nazi era, and he tried to reach out to the youth. That was his 40. So he had sort of Bible camps and things like that, where, you know, in the worst of the Nazi time, where the Hitler Youth pretty much controlling everything, he took his kids out and he was having Bible sessions. Yeah? And the Nazis didn't like this at all. Yeah? And he was actually also speaking out against what they were doing, you know, like the programs against the Jewish people and so on. Now, they didn't like this at all, and they incarcerated him several times. He thought that he was going to go to the camps, to the concentration camps. They didn't send him there. They made him an offer, and they said, look, you know, leave the youth alone, leave them to us. You can preach to the old guys what you want, and you get a nice pension, and you'll be looked after, and we'll leave you alone. He didn't accept the offer, and the Nazis were very annoyed by this. Still, he was fortunate in that, in as much that they didn't send him to the concentration camps, but just incarcerated him for periods of times, yeah, when they got him. He tells a lot about his time. I've got two talks from him, sort of original tape recordings, and it's quite interesting when you listen to him and you hear what this man was going through in under this oppressive, this tyranny, which was poised on destroying Christianity. There was a small group, and this is how bad it gets. You know, you've got 60 million people, and you've got a lot of pastors who just go along with the new German Christianity, and there was a small group who said no. Yeah, they said no, and they embraced something which is called Confessing Christianity, or the Confessing Church in German, die Bekennende Kirche. And there were people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which may be known. He actually was taken to a concentration camp, and he died sort of in the last days. And these guys were making a stand. They were making a stand for Christ. They were rebuking the fascist movement for what they were trying to do with Christianity. And there were only about 6,000 people, 6,000 who were there. I'm sure there were a lot more. But one of the things I had to think about is a little bit what was happening in Israel in the days of Elijah, where Ahab and Jezebel were just corrupting the nation, and they had the Baal's priests there, and they had the big show-off where 400 Baal's priests came, and they put up a sacrifice, and then Elijah came. And he put up a sacrifice for the living God, and he asked them to fill the trenches with, or fill the sacrifice with water, and put water in the trenches, to the point where it even went around the altar in the trenches. And then he prayed to God, and fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, yeah, as a sign of who the real God is, whether it is Baal or it is the Lord. It is the Lord of hosts. And that is, you know, when you look at the spirit, what it seems to be like, that there were just very few Christians left, not many. There were a few faithful souls who didn't buy into all this stuff. And they were just sort of trying to, hold out. Yeah, but they didn't have any strength. They didn't have any power to try and rise against it. Okay, what is the point I'm making here? Now, I know that a lot of people in those days thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. At the same time, there were a lot of people within the church, even within evangelical churches, who were embracing this new Nazi movement which was there. They could see all the success. They could see the wealth coming back to the people, people getting into work, people having better living standards, better lives. they could see the attraction of this, you know, great leader who was leading the nation to a better place. And they were just falling for it, right, left, and center. And they were evangelical preachers. I once heard a preacher saying that that he said that a Pentecostal preacher, he was writing poems about the hands of the Führer. This is how deceived and how deception crept in, even in so-called spirit-filled churches, that people just couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They just had the man, the guy who had all the answers. They had the man who knew exactly what to do, and they were following him blindly. And again, when you look at Hitler, he demanded worship through through everything. Every public building you went to, you had a picture of him. You had to use a greeting of Heil Hitler. If you didn't use it, you were in trouble, potentially. My granddad told me that you didn't do this. And if you were, you know, with the wrong people and you had like an SA troop somewhere, they would sort you out. They would beat you up and they would give you a hard time. And this is sort of how serious the whole thing was, that a whole nation fell into this deception. And, you know, the whole thing lasted about 12 years. And after 12 years, Germany was pretty much destroyed. About 13.8% or something. I had to look at some statistics of the people were dead at the end of this. Germans were dead at the end of this. And I think the Russians had it a bit worse. They had about 15 or 16% of the people who died on account of the war activities. Depending what Stalin did, it might have been more that he killed of his own people, you know, the people he was supposed to rule over, than what the archenemy Germany did at the time, what the Nazis did. But again, the point is, and let me just sort of sum this up and draw the analogy to today. We had a period of great democracy, of great freedom. Freedom of thought, people could say what they wanted, they could do what they wanted. And then we had a period where suddenly there was no more freedom of thought. If you were a communist, you were incarcerated. If you were a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, and you didn't go along with the Nazi ideology, you were incarcerated. If you dared to stand up against it and you said something against the Nazi ideology, you were probably executed. And if you went along and you fit in, you were okay. They left you alone. And it goes further as well. They only had radio. Radio was state-controlled, but books was a big medium of communication. You could type stuff up. You could write it. You could print it. Printing presses were quite widely available. And what they did is they had a big book burning. Anything which didn't fit in with your ideology was burned. And don't we see something similar today with the internet? We've got a medium which is fantastic. We can propagate, you know, whatever we think. Might be good, might be wrong, but the medium of the internet is now getting censored more and more. European legislation has come out, and I can see that certain American websites, I can't see them anymore because they are afraid of falling foul of the European legislation, data protection legislation. So they come up with some data protection stuff, they come up with hate speech laws, they come up with other stuff, and straight away your freedom of speech is taken away. It no longer exists in one swoop by just, you know, putting the big bat out and say, if you don't listen to us, we're going to get you and we're going to find you and we're going to try and get the money from you. It's very, very scary what is happening today. What was happening in Germany in the onslaught of the war, people were turning away from God en masse. They didn't want to know about the traditional, you know, Christianity, churches and so on. They turned to the occult. They turned to, you know, new expressions of faith. They were looking for a new religion, and the devil gave them a new religion, and that was fascism. Fascism was a new religion. People embraced it. They lapped it up. And they had their god, which was a human being, a bit like what the Romans had in their Caesar. So they had their Caesar, the god in flesh to worship. And they pretty much did this. Yeah? And when I was talking to people, a lot of people agreed with them. A lot of people saw the hope in them. I was just watching a documentary, and even young kids, I mean, they put all their trust in the Führer, and they even said, you know, how can it be, you know, at the end of the war, you know, they stood in the middle of the ruins, everything destroyed, and they said they trust the Führer, you know, how can it be that the Führer could let them down, even at this hour? And this is how manipulated people were. And my warning here is we are not any better than that. And I'm convinced, you know, we are in a position where we had a stretch of time where we had freedom of speech. We could speak the gospel. We could preach it. Nobody bothered us. We were free to do what we could. And all the freedom is slowly taken away one bit by another bit. Very often under pretense, and very often it's, you know, under the guise of Islamophobia, as, you know, the LGBT equality thing and hate speech and a lot of other stuff. Yeah. So they're taking our freedoms away bit by bit by bit, just eroding whatever we have had for, I don't know, maybe for one generation, maybe for about 40, 50 years, where you could pretty much say and think, or think and say what you wanted. And now, nowadays, I think you're not even allowed to think certain things. Yeah. Your thoughts are no longer yourself. This is, I think, is a big problem we have today. I'm firmly convinced that when we look at history, we've got these two figures. We've got Stalin, we've got Hitler, and we can see, you know, in both of them, the forerunners of the Antichrist. Yeah, we've got a few generations in between. I believe it's just grace time where God has just given us grace to complete the task to preach the gospel to the ends of the world. And I think all this has happened now, and all that's going to come is the real McCoy. Not the little Hitlers, but the ones who are pretty much big. Again, I could draw a lot of analogies why people legitimately thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. He had an alliance of many nations. I'm not sure whether it counts up to 10, but it's not far off. We had Romania, I think it was Hungary as well. We had Belgian people fighting for the Germans. We had Finland. Obviously, we had Germany and Austria, so we are already at 6. We had Japan and Italy, yeah, so we are at 8. Have you got another two nations? I'm sure we can drag them out somewhere of small nations who joined up with the Axis, the so-called Axis. I think Croatia, Yugoslavia, some of them, there was something going on as well. But people in those days really thought, you know, that's him. Some of the Christians, you know, that's him, and Jesus is coming back soon. One problem, Israel as a state didn't exist. The temple wasn't there. You know, he couldn't set himself into the temple, but maybe they saw this figuratively. But we are in a different age. Things are mounting up. We are getting a lot closer to the return of Christ. And I want to encourage you to number one, warn the people around you, you know, stop them from being complacent, pray for the nation, repent on behalf of your nation. And, you know, seek God for the welfare of your nation. Because what is happening today is just the same as what happened in the 20s, that people say life is for living. You know, we want to do our own thing. You know, they wave goodbye to God. They want their own private religion. They do what is right in their own eyes. But they don't want to know about God. On the contrary, they rebel against God. And they twist the things around, that what is good is evil and what is evil is good. This is what is happening today. And I think we are ready for judgment, and we've been for quite some time. And at the moment, we are just living off borrowed grace, maybe on account of the saints praying for the mercy of God to just give us another day and another day to allow us to preach the gospel in peace. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, help us to understand the signs of the times and help us to interpret them correctly. I pray that you will prepare us to preach the gospel in this last generation. And to, you know, to try our utmost. I pray for opportunities in our lives to just get this one more fish out of, you know, to fish them out before the great disaster, before the great tribulation comes. I pray for guidance and for your leadership in our lives in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen.